everybody. I'm Jen Garrett, internationally recognized branding consultant, attorney, and best-selling author of the books Move the Ball and Dominate the Game. My passion for football, high achievement, and pushing boundaries has helped me to get into rooms with pro athletes and power players and to move the ball in multiple male-dominated industries. Now, I'm using the same Move the Ball methodology to help thousands of people dominate their game when it comes to their brands, their careers, and creating opportunities. Join me in conversations that will elevate your career, differentiate your hustle, and accelerate you crossing the goal line. Get ready. It's time to suit up, to show up, and to move the ball. Hello, and thanks for joining us today. If this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you've been a part of the Move the Ball movement for quite some time, welcome back. On this show, we talk about business, branding, sports, and of course, we're giving you insights and advice on how to move the ball and make things happen. This episode is part of my special Path to the Draft series, where I am having conversations with NFL draft prospects on their path to the draft. Now, if you haven't yet followed the podcast, make sure that you do so so that you never miss an episode as part of this series, as well as the regular show. I've got a great lineup of guests for this season. Now, for today's episode, inside the huddle with us and ready to share his story and talk about his path to the draft is Dylan Johnson. Dylan, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Well, I'm excited to have you on with us today. We saw each other in Tampa as you were down training with Yo Murphy and you were getting ready for your pre-combine, pre-draft training. And we talked about having you on. So here we are, and I'm excited for our conversation today. So let me just share a little bit about your background for our listeners. Dylan is a running back who finished up his college career at the University of Washington, putting up some great numbers last season, leading the Huskies with 233 carries for 1,195 yards and 16 rushing touchdowns. Dylan started off playing college football at Mississippi State, and as a Bulldog, he played in 35 games, and his notable performance includes rushing for 1,198 yards and 11 touchdowns, along with 149 receptions for 864 yards. Dylan was also part of Washington's amazing run this past season to the CFP. We will talk about his college football journey, the CFP, his pre-draft training, and more. All right, Dylan, before we get into all of that, I got to ask you, are you ready to move the ball?
Absolutely. I'm excited. Let's do it.
All right. Awesome. Let's do it. So I mentioned just a second ago that I saw you in Tampa where you were doing your pre-combine training. Let's start off our conversation there. As you prepare for the NFL draft, what aspects of the evaluation process do you find most challenging? And then secondly, how have you stayed focused and motivated during this crucial time? I mean, getting ready for the draft is a big deal. It's obviously going to take you in an awesome direction as a professional football player. So kind of what are things have you been focusing on with your training?
I'm trying to focus on everything. My elusiveness, my pass detection, and of course, my 40-yard dash. I think that's the most important thing. I think a lot of the scouts want to see, you know, how fast I am, what's my true speed. So been doing a lot of work, working on that. And I'm just blessed to have the opportunity to be out there and showcase my abilities.
And you were in season 5 of the Move the Ball podcast. And I've done this Path to the Draft series ever since season 1. And a lot of listeners of the show over the years have told me that they didn't really understand how intense the training is to get ready for the combine and for the draft process, pro days, all of that. There's a lot that goes into it. I've personally seen you working hard out there on the field and in the weight room. And tell us about what did your off-season training regimen look like? And then you already mentioned that you were focusing on the 40 and some other areas. What are you continuing to work on as you get closer to draft day?
Pretty much everything. My footwork, my protection, like I said, my 40-yard dash, like all those things are important. I think that the main thing for me is working on my 40, working on my speed, making sure I come out there and run a solid time, just showing the scouts that I have some speed on me. My workouts have consisted of me, you know, waking up at 7:30 in the morning, coming over to House of Athletes. Field work is at 8:30. I come in at 8 o'clock. We stretch, you know, get a good stretch in. And then we go out to the field, do some drills and stuff like that. A lot of plyometric stuff out there on the field, working on the 40, working on position-specific things that we'll do at the combine. Leave from the field around 10:30, 11 o'clock, have lunch at the facility. After that, you know, about 12:30, we'll have the actual workout. So we'll lift weights, do some bench on certain days like Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We're were upper body. Tuesdays and Thursdays were lower body. So putting in a lot of work and just trying to prepare my body for this big moment coming up.
For sure. And there's definitely a lot of work that goes into that, as you mentioned. And, you know, Yoel Murphy, who runs House of Athlete down there in Tampa, I mean, he's one of the best in the biz. And what is it about Yo that you really like his style and kind of just his methodology for training?
Dude, he's just so smart, man. It's everything that he does is specifically to help you better yourself. And I mean, you can go and ask all the guys. I don't think there's a trainer out there that's put in as much time and dedication to helping a kid get to their goal more than Yo. And, you know, he brought me in and I really appreciate him for like taking the time out of his day for coming in every day from 7:30 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon and spending time with us and trying to help us fulfill our dreams like he did.
Yeah, Yo's definitely got an amazing work ethic. He cares very much about the people that he works with, and he's just an amazing guy all around. And so I always love getting to see Yo down there and all the work that he does training you guys to get ready for the draft. Now, when you look at the running back position, what are some of the things that you feel are necessary to excel at the skill position? And then secondly, what makes you different from other running backs in the draft class?
I would definitely say just being a three down back, you have to be able to catch the ball. Run the ball, and you got to be able to pass protect to even touch the field. You know, nowadays the league is going into a more pass heavy. Yeah, I mean, the only team that I really remember now that runs the ball a lot is Tennessee Titans, and that's with Derrick Henry. I mean, who wouldn't run the ball with Derrick Henry? But you got to be able to run the ball, you got to be able to catch, and you got to be able to block. Me, in terms of me, I feel like people don't really know how good I am in running routes. I think that's what separates me the most, my route running. I have really good hands just because, you know, I was in Mike Leach offense and I was able to showcase my catching ability a lot. So the only way you can touch the field in Coach Leach's offense is if you're able to catch the ball. So I'm grateful to, you know, be a part of. I'm grateful that I had the chance and the opportunity to play under him. And that's helped me, you know, help my whole career. And it's definitely helped me as a player. But I definitely think my pass protection and the way I run routes definitely separate me in this class.
We'll talk about you playing at Mississippi State here in just a second. But before that, let's run things way back. You are from Mississippi. Tell us about when was the first time that you picked up a football or suited up?
I was young, man. I was about four or five years old. My dad put a football in my hand and I fell in love with it ever since. Man, I just remember all the days where, you know, he woke me up in the morning to go run or going running up the levee and heels and stuff like that, like strengthen my legs. Or he had me playing against older guys. So whenever I played guys my age, it wasn't really a competition for me. So I want to give a shout out to my dad for that. And, you know, my mom was big, of course, loving, compassionate woman, you know, was there at every last one of my games. On my one hand, I probably could count how many games she's missed in my career. Like I'm talking about from Pee Wee up to college. So I really appreciate them for, you know, taking the time out their day to help me build my future.
Well, as you know, I mean, it takes a village, right? It's not just about you, the athlete. It's the whole family. It's the commitment from everybody, the sacrifices to help you get to where you're at. So shout out to your parents for being awesome parents. So my listeners know that I fell in love with the game of football at 4 years old. What about football made you fall in love with it?
I know this might sound bad, but it's just the fact that you can put your hands on another man and not go to jail for it. So I think me, because I'm such a physical guy, you know, I grew up with four brothers. So I was always wrestling and fighting and stuff. So that's kind of the reason why I really fell in love with football, man, is just the fact that, you know, I'm able to do whatever I want on the football field and not get in trouble for it.
I got you. It is a very physical game and allows you to let out some of that energy and aggression. And so it's a great way to get that energy out. So one of the things I like to ask people on the show, Dylan, who've played football, is what are some of the things that you've taken away from playing football over the years that have really helped you to be successful up to this point and that you think will continue to help you throughout all of life, not just playing professional football, but even beyond that?
A lot of people don't understand. I think the athletes will probably understand what I'm saying as when you're going through like spring and winter training and you have those times where you're out there on the field running, doing conditioning and stuff. And it's tough, man. I think a lot of people don't know how much time and work we put in to like perform at a high level. Just the fact that us being out there on the field, halfway dying out there, to perform at a high level. I think that carries us in life in general. And, you know, never give up mindset. I think that definitely will carry you throughout life when you hit adversity. Like, what will you do? Will you fold up a balled up, or will you continue to come with pressure every each and every day? And it teaches you discipline, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, working out hard, leaning on your brothers for help. All that is discipline. So it definitely teaches you discipline, and you can carry that throughout your life.
For sure. And I like that you mentioned leaning on your brothers for help, because I think that's something that's so important. It's critical for us to remember that it's okay to ask for help in all situations. And it's actually a sign of strength. It's not a sign of weakness, though people think it is, to be able to say, hey, I need some help. And whether it's in a team setting or just, you know, you're trying to do something by yourself, but you just can't quite make it, you got to ask for a helping hand. It's very important. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. And I just wanted to mention that on the show, because I think it's an important reminder for people that being disciplined is important, and you've got to have that discipline to be successful. But it's also okay to ask for help along the way, because it does take a team to move the ball.
Right.
Now, Dylan, you chose to go to Mississippi State. Tell us, why did you choose to be a Bulldog?
I was in love with State, man. I grew up around all Mississippi State fans. So in my head, you know, my family, my second family, my God family, they're all with Mississippi State fans. So it was just like, it was destined for me to go and be a Mississippi State player. So my 10th grade year, I was blessed with an offer from them. I didn't commit to my senior year in August. Me and Coach Moorhead developed a really good relationship. And, you know, I committed, man. And I hate that I didn't get to play under him. But, you know, things happen for a reason. And I'm just blessed to have been able to be in that situation and come out on top.
And you played for State during the 2020, 2021, 2022 seasons. What were some of your most memorable times at Mississippi State?
It was awesome, just because some of the guys that I grew up with, I talked to them like throughout my high school career, and we all went to the same school. Just all the good laughs and times where we threw the trainers in the cold tub, or or we was out there on the field just doing crazy stuff. And, or, you know, my first game was probably one of my most exciting times, was the first time when LSU just came off of winning a national championship, and we played them COVID year. And the first game, we beat them. And it was so surreal. And, like, I just, you know, I couldn't really put it into words. And for me to even be able to play my first game was just touching the field, being out there, getting a little catch I got for, like, 6 or 7 yards. It was no greater feeling than that. And then, you know, all my guys sticking around, sticking through the adversity. I was blessed, man. I was blessed to be there, and I was blessed to have awesome teammates.
And you decided to transfer after the 2022 season to the University of Washington. What prompted your decision to transfer to Washington?
It mostly came down to putting myself in a position to translate my game to the NFL. I felt like Mississippi State was a great place, but I didn't feel like Coach Leach's offense was going to translate to the NFL. So, you know, he's like, everything was different about his offense, the splits, the zones, gap schemes, running outside zone, inside zone, counter. Protections were totally different. Like, I didn't get that feel. So, you know, Washington hit me up. They were the first school to hit me up. And I just remember the first time I got on the phone with him, and Coach Marks, he was sitting there, he was talking to me. He's like, look, I'm going to be honest with you. He was like, you're the missing piece to us going to a national championship. That's the first thing he told me. And I was sitting there, you know, of course, I'm like, I'm from the South. So, you know, I'm like, man, them boys can't really play ball down there. And then, like, until I got down there, and, man, sheesh, man, I was wrong. We had some studs, some dudes out there. So it was great, man. It was a great experience. And I was so blessed to be a part of those guys' life and a part of that program, man. We did some great things, and I'm proud of it.
Lots to be proud of this last year with Washington's latest run, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. But before we go there, so, you know, transitioning from going from the South to Washington to the Pacific Northwest is very different in terms of climate. And then also you've got a new system. How was that adjustment for you and adapting to it?
I think those were definitely the most two difficult things, the two most difficult things for me to like really get adjusted to, because like the weather is totally different. The people are totally different. The culture is totally different there. So like it was just totally different. And then on top of the offense, was Coach Grove just was a mastermind. So I was used to like 895, 894, green 94, like at Mississippi State, that's what our plays. Like they were short, two-word plays. And then when I get to Washington, I got a play that's a sentence and a half long or two sentences. So it was a big adjustment. And it was just, it was definitely took some time, but man, it helped me so much. It helped my game so much. As you can see what I did this year, it was just, I was blessed, man. I'm glad that I stepped out of my comfort zone to do something that could better me, just not my life, but my son's life, my family's life. So I was blessed for sure.
This last season, the 2023 season for the Huskies was remarkable. You had some standout performances, including a 256-yard, 4-touchdown game against USC. Can you share with us some pivotal moments or experiences from last season that you believe have really shaped you as a player?
Man, I went through a lot. Just even when I got there, I was dealing with a knee injury, trying to recover from that. Starting the season, I wasn't healthy at all. By the fifth game of the year, I finally was able to, you know, find my groove and get it going. If you can go and look back at the stats and stuff, the second half of the season, that's where I started becoming myself. And that's when Coach Grubb and Coach DeBoer started leaning more on me. I was finally healthy and was able to help the team out more. It was just crazy, man. And then I ended up having my foot injury and just trying to get through that adversity and stuff like that. And it just made the whole journey so much sweeter. You know, we beat Oregon twice. I didn't realize how much they hated Oregon until I got there. And literally, like, they're telling me, bro, oh, you better, their fans are terrible. Like, I was like, dang, they y'all really don't like them. It was like Ole Miss versus Mississippi State. Like, it was like the Egg Bowl, but you know how toxic that is. But, man, we had some surreal moments. I think the best moment for me was Pac-12 championship. You know, I had to run and stuff. But I just felt like I put my body on the line. I put my mind, my career, everything just on the line to, you know, be out there with my brothers and compete at a high level. No matter what it took, I wanted to be out there and help us win by all costs. So we were able to do that, and it was no better feeling. So and doing what everybody said we couldn't do, you know, beating Texas since they were so much bigger and better than us, you know, it was just – it was awesome, man. I love to be the underdog, and we're underdog all year, you know. So it was just a blessing, man, definitely a blessing.
Yeah, definitely a great season to be proud of. And you mentioned beating Texas in the Sugar Bowl. I mean, you had 49 yards, 2 touchdowns, 21 carries, 3 passes for 18 yards. Great game. What was it like to play in a CFP game, beat Texas, obviously, who has a strong football program, and then make it into the CFP championship?
Man, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I remember getting all the guys and getting all the running backs. And, you know, I kind of got, like, really emotional just because – as a little kid, you dream of being in big moments like that. You dream of being in big games like that. And, you know, I was just telling them how you might not never get this opportunity again. Like, seize the moment, be in the moment. Like, take all of this in. Like, you know, you'll probably never get this opportunity again. So just taking it all in and just running with it, man, just running with it. Because it was always my goal was to go and play for a college football championship. Like, that was the reason why I went to Washington, was because I felt like they were one player, a couple of things from being at that level. So it's just surreal, man. It was something that you can't really put into words. You really just had to be there to really just feel the energy. Like I always say, man, it was a blessing to be a part of those guys' careers, man, because, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at without them right now.
And during the awards banquet, you won the Newcomer of the Year award. What was that like for you to win that?
Man, it was awesome. You know, the guys, they knew what all the things that I was going through injury-wise and just how much I loved the team and how much I was willing to sacrifice to be out there and produce at a high level no matter how I was feeling or how I was feeling coming into the locker room. I always brought energy, great energy, because that's just me. That's just how I am. And I never want negative energy to affect the team. And I was blessed by the team to, you know, vote me as that. So it was awesome.
So you still have college eligibility left, but you chose to declare for the 2024 NFL draft. Why come out now?
Man, I felt like it was time. You know, when you're hot, you leave while you're hot. So, you know, I felt like there's nothing on the football field I couldn't do. I felt like I showed everything that I could do. You know, as far as, you know, my vision, my blocking, my catching, like You know, I got 174 receptions. I don't think anybody has that. Anybody can say that with, I think, what, four drops in my career. I don't think a lot of people can really say that they have that. So I got very reliable hands. Feel like I can run any route. I just felt like it was time. So I just went on and came out.
And how has your overall college experience, both at Mississippi State as well as the University of Washington, prepared you for this transition to the pros? And what aspects of the NFL are you most looking forward to?
They both helped me tremendously. You know, Mississippi State helped me as far as being able to catch the ball out of the backfield. And Washington, you know, they helped me learn play schemes and play styles and seven-man protection, six-man protections. They helped me with all of that. And, like, the transition, how they helped me transition to the next level, I think Washington definitely helped. Washington, by far, benefited me the most as far as helping me transition to the next level. Just because of Coach Grubb, I know everybody knows that he's becoming the new OC at the Seattle Seahawks. Great offensive-minded coach, the best I've ever seen. Knowing the defense, knowing what they're going to do, knowing what we have this thing called STAB, and it's basically stance, technique, alignment, and body language. Like, when you're looking at a player, what are they giving off in their body language or their stance or in their alignment? So all of that, like, I learned that Washington, and, you know, I put that into my game. I think all of that will help me translate to the next level.
And so I'm going to ask you, too, about Coach DeBoer, who's going to the University of Alabama, which is where I went to school, as my listeners know. What about Coach DeBoer makes him great to you?
I love him so much, bro. I love him so much. It's because he changed my life. He believed in me. I remember our first conversation, you know, us just talking and sitting down. And it was just real. It was real from the beginning. I hate that he's getting so much hate because of, you know, how the way that he left and stuff like that. But you got to give him his flowers, man. He's a winner. He's a winner. And when he came into the program, the team was 4-8. I think a lot of people forget that. And he put those guys in the position to be great because he knew how to utilize them. That doesn't get talked about enough. And that's why we all love him. Like, I know some of the guys are upset about him leaving, but, man, I mean, he's changed a lot of us. He changed a lot of our lives, man. And in 2 years, he's not just a great coach on the field, but off the field. If you ever need to talk to him, just holler at him. He's the first guy you can call and talk to. Actually, we were just texting yesterday. He had sent me and J-Mac a video. Me and J-Mac is up here playing this shadow boxing game, and he was recording us while we were playing each other. And, you know, we were just talking mess and stuff, and, you know, he just sent the message just saying how much he missed and loved us, man, and so proud of everything that we did, and he's looking forward to seeing us on the next level and stuff like that. So he's such an awesome guy, man. And I love him to death, and I wish him nothing but the best. And I hope he does great over there at Alabama and keep being a winner as he's been his whole life. So it's been great.
For sure. And I will definitely be rooting for him to do great things in his next chapter. So Dylan, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have some fun questions as part of my 2-minute drill. We'll be right back.
You already know how to move the ball. Now it's time to dominate the game. In my latest book, Dominate the Game, I uncover the strategies of top performers that are proven to tackle procrastination, break through barriers, and more, giving you the confidence to go after everything you want. Life is about more than just showing up. It's about differentiating, elevating, and dominating. So here's the deal. Grab your copy of Dominate the Game today and get your playbook for success. Make this next year the year you dominate in every aspect of your life. Because remember, the game is yours to conquer.
All right, Dylan, we are back. Are you ready for my 2-minute drill?
Yes, ma'am. Let's do it.
All right. First question is, outside of football, what do you like to do?
Mainly just hang out with my son. I'm a big kids guy. Anybody can tell you that I love kids. And my son is the greatest gift I could ever have. So that's the main thing that I usually do after football is spend time with my son.
What three words would you use to describe yourself?
Loving, kind, and helpful.
Great three words. What is one thing most people don't know about you?
It's crazy. I was a better soccer player than football player.
Oh, okay. What is the best piece of advice you've been given by a mentor or a coach?
Never dream big and never give up. Whatever your goal is, man, make it bigger. Always know that you can give more. And also, like, never giving up. I know that's corny, but that's the greatest thing I was ever told was, that's my motto, like, find a way. And that was our motto at Mississippi State. Coach Marks preached in our head, find a way.
And if there's any other advice that you would give to someone else, what would that be?
Seize the moment. Enjoy it, man. And take it all in, because once your college career is over, it's over, man. So enjoy every moment. Have fun with the guys. And just know, man, when the past are over, it's over. So just be in the moment and love all your guys while you're doing it.
I like that. And it really goes to just, you know, embracing and enjoying the journey along the way, right? And seizing every moment that's a part of that. All right. The next question is, would you rather be the world champion of your sport or the CEO of a $1 billion company, and why?
Oh, that's tough. A world champion. Damn. Is that like a Super Bowl champion?
Yes.
I think I'll be a Super Bowl champion just because as a team, like there's nothing greater than winning something as a team, like with your team involved in it. So yeah, I'm not really an individual guy. So I definitely say team. Like I definitely say Super Bowl.
Okay. And then the last question is, you have 24 hours and a private plane that will take you anywhere. Where are you going?
Man, I'm going to Cancun.
It's a good place. And the bonus question is, would you rather dance in front of a crowd of strangers or sing in front of them?
Man, I'm dancing. I got some moves.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you show off some of those moves in your next chapter here on an NFL football field.
Absolutely.
So, Dylan, as we look to close our show, two things. One, let people know, where can they follow you on your journey? And then secondly, any other shout outs? You've already given a shout out to the parents. Anybody else you want to shout out?
Deal_2E on Instagram. And man, shout out to my teachers, Mr. Kelly, and Ms. Carpenter, Ms. Haynes, my mom, my dad, my four brothers, Bryce, CJ, Brady, Darius, my son, of course. You know, I appreciate all of y'all, man. Y'all motivated me so much. Y'all been here supporting me since day one, and I'm doing what we said that I was going to do. And I thank you guys for believing in me when no one else did. So this is for you guys, and let's go finish it off. Let's go finish.
Love it. Well, Dylan, thank you so much for joining the show today. It's been a true pleasure, and I wish you much success on your next journey in the NFL.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you to everyone for listening to today's show. Once again, if you haven't already done so, make sure you hit that follow button so that you're always in the know for a future episode. And also, be sure to share the show with some friends, family, colleagues, and coworkers too. All right, everyone, thanks so much again for listening, and we will catch you next time. Until then, make sure that you suit up, you show up, and you move the ball.
Thanks for listening to today's show. If you found this episode to be helpful, do me a favor, leave me a review, and also share the show with a few friends too. Next, if you're looking to take your career to that next level, unlocking the path to executive heights and high income opportunities, go to www.thenextfirstdown.com and join the newsletter. This will give you priority access to tips and strategies that will help you accelerate your career today, not tomorrow, not next week, today. As always, I'm here to be in your corner and help you to move the ball. Until next time.